Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Over the last few years, I've learned quite a lot about this increasing kingdom, the kingdom of God, and I want to share a few thoughts around what it is and then how it affects our day-to-day lives, how we can apply it to life. And as I've done this, I've really grown in my Christian life, so here we go. So first of all, the kingdom of God is mentioned a heck of a lot of times in the New Testament. It's about 70 times the kingdom of God is mentioned, and the kingdom of heaven is mentioned about 30 times. Interestingly, salvation is only mentioned about 85 times. So Jesus talks about the kingdom a lot. You know, he preaches sermons about it. He shares parables explaining what this kingdom of God is. And after he died and rose again, it says in Acts that he appears to the apostles from time to time with the 40 days following his death and resurrection. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So Jesus dies, rises again, and then he's coming back, he's hanging out with his disciples, and he's talking to them about the kingdom of God. That's how important it is. He spends a lot of time talking about it, which interests me because how much do we as a church talk about the kingdom of God? You know, we hear about it here and there, but I think on the whole, our focus is salvation, which is really good, and that's a great focus. I don't want to take away from that, but what is it that Jesus was talking about? There's this really great quote from a guy called Michael Maiden, and he says, "We have preached the message of Christ, not the message that Christ preached." So we've become really good at getting people saved, and that's great, but do they understand the kingdom and are they operating in it? So salvation is extraordinarily important. You know, all of us came into this room this morning through a door. And salvation, if without the door, we can't get in, right? We can't get into this room. So coming through the door is really important, and salvation is the door into the kingdom of God. There's no other way to get into the kingdom or to come into the body of Christ or the family of God without going through Jesus. So the door is extraordinarily beautiful, and I love the door. We should preach about the door, but we walk through doorways. We don't live in doorways. And I think too often the body of Christ, people come in and we say, yep, get saved. And we want people to get saved. But it's come through the doorway of salvation and come in to this room, this place of the kingdom of God, and explore everything that is available to us in Christ. The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached made a huge difference to people's day-to-day life. It wasn't just something that matters when we die. It matters now. It affects now. It affects the day-to-day life. And I've met people, and I've been like this as well, that it's like, and salvation can almost be an insurance policy for when we die. Like, yes, I want salvation so I know my destination is secure. I know where I'm going when I die. But then the lifestyle doesn't really change that much for the here and now. Anyone else been there? Oh, good on you guys. You even admitted to that. That was good. So people can receive salvation and yet not see transformation, not have an expectation that God can show up and make a difference in the problems that we face or the things in society that we face. Is that making sense? We can just take on yes for later rather than what's for now. So it's not just about our destination, our eternal destination changing. It's that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We've changed families. We've shifted from, we've got a different father now. We're under another kingdom. And that's really important. So what is a kingdom? I've got a great little photo here for you. I think. Yeah. Here's a pretty little kingdom. It's got a little wall around the edge. It's got a castle. And a kingdom is a place or a country or a city or this where a king has dominion or it's his domain, kingdom, king's domain. It's a place where he has authority, where he has rulership and reign. So like this little place here, would have its own customs, its own culture, it would have its own way of doing things, it's got its own resources, its own laws. All of those things are part of that kingdom right there. And all of those are in alignment with the king who rules that kingdom. So it's the same thing about God and his kingdom. It has its own culture, it has its own values, it's had its own principles and laws, it has its own resources, it has its own way of doing things. So when we talk, it's the place where God reigns. It's not a physical place, it's God reigns. That's what it means. So when we talk about we want to see the kingdom of God, we're saying that we want to see God rule in this situation or in this place. Yes? You with me? So the kingdom of God has all its own resources and customs. So does the kingdom of darkness. It's just that they're totally opposed to each other. So depending on what kingdom we are part of, dictates what we can expect to receive from that kingdom. We will receive the benefits from either kingdom. Just so you know what those are, in John 10:10, it says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So the benefits of the kingdom that we receive, we're either part of a kingdom that steals, kills, and destroys, or we're part of a kingdom that brings life and life in all its abundance. I need to have a drink. So is everyone with me so far? So I think I'll go down this track. The kingdom of God, we've got the kingdom of darkness. Now, I'll start first. I'll go further back. There's three realms, and we can see them in the Bible. In the Bible, they're more talked about as three heavens, which sounds weird. Three heavens. So the first heaven we see in creation, and it's talking about the heavens and the earth. That's the natural, the physical thing that we can see around us. That's the first heaven or the first realm. If the first heaven messes with your thinking, first realm. So there's that realm that we can see and touch. And then above that is the spirit realm. And that's talking about the principalities and the powers, and that's what people would call the second heaven. And then there's the third heaven, which is God is seated in heavenly places. He is above all things. So when we come into the kingdom of God, it's the resources of that third heaven that we have access to. So the second heaven can dictate over the first heaven, over the natural, and we can come under the effect of that. Okay, the second heaven can't affect the third heaven, but the third heaven can affect the second and the first. So when we come into the kingdom of God and come under his rulership, we come under the power of that third heaven. It's the highest level of authority that can dictate into the second and into the first. That's the resources and the power that we are part of. Okay, I've got another verse here. You guys can say amen more, and I'll preach better, I'm sure. Okay, so it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I'm going somewhere with this. So in Mark chapter 3, verse 22 to 27, Jesus has just cast a demon out of someone, and the Pharisees were all really upset about it. And they're like, man, he's doing this with the power of Satan. It's not the power of God, it's the power of Satan. And Jesus talks and he says, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. It's like Jesus came and demonstrated a kingdom and showed us what God was like. He did things and we see him move in different ways, and he's saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. I'll probably come back to that a little bit later. So Jesus taught us to pray to the Father and say, here it is, I should know this, your kingdom come. It's very common, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what that means is that we come to a situation or we come to a place and we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We want you to rule over this. We want you to have dominion over this situation. We want this thing to come into alignment with heaven. So that third round, come, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, let this come under the rulership of your kingdom, your customs, your principles, your values, your resources come under your power. Okay, so this brings me to my first point. That was a really long, probably, introduction. The kingdom is internal and external. So we often pray that the kingdom of God would come on an external situation, like on a city or on a nation. We'd be praying about Whangarei and say, God, let your kingdom come in Whangarei. That's a great prayer. But it's the kingdom also has to be internal. I believe it's got to start here. And this helped me a lot, because I'd talk about the kingdom being an external thing, but then I realized it's got to start here in me. God, let your kingdom come in me. Let your rule come in me. Like, I surrender. You come and have your way. I want your customs, your way of doing things. I want your resources. I want you to rule in my life. If we go back to this photo again, man, these guys are good, eh? Thank you. That's Jayshu, eh? You doing that? And Joseph, yeah, thank you guys. If we picture yourself, you picture yourself as this kingdom, okay? And you are the king of that castle. And there's tour buses coming to see you. So you're the king of that castle and of that kingdom. You set the customs, the values, the laws, the ways of doing things for your own life. You call the shots. And you might have seen movies, and I had this sort of prophetic picture a few weeks back. And if you've seen some movies from old school sort of kingdoms like this, and people would come and try to invade those cities, these kingdoms. And they come up to they surround it, and they've got those big arrow things, and they've got the trebuchet, something like that. And they've got these weapons to try and smash down walls. Okay, and that would be quite a frightening thing, okay, if you're in this city and there's this army trying to invade and annihilate you and your people and the things that you care about. And I realize that Jesus comes to invade, but he doesn't do it like that. He doesn't come with all these weapons to smash down walls. He just comes to the gate of each of our cities and he knocks. He's saying, let me in. Let me be king. Let me rule here. And, you know, we might resist him for quite a long time. And we might think, no, I want to be the ruler of my kingdom. I want to call the shots. But then when we start to see his extravagant love, when we start to see his desire for us, that he wants the best for us, we start to see the sacrifice that he's made for us. When we start to see all that, it's not, no, don't invade me. It's, please, like, open the gates. Let him come in. You have rulership of this place. Come on in. And the more we see the goodness of God and the character of God, the more it just gets easier to say, come. Just come in, invade me. You know, for years I've stupidly thought that there was areas of my life that I could look after better than God. You know, I'd invited him in, but then for some, it seems quite silly to me, for some stupid reason, I'm like, well, I'm not ready to give this part of my life yet. I'm not ready to surrender this part of my kingdom, as if I know better than God. But the best thing we can ever do is just say, yeah, have your way. I think that's such a key phrase in the kingdom that just lines up with it so much. It's just, have your way, God. Have your way. I want to ask you the question, how much of your kingdom have you given to him? Is he king over your relationships, over your finances? Is he king over your speech? Is he king over what else comes in through the gates? Yeah, is he king over every part of your life? Jesus didn't talk about the kingdom of God as being something that we just add on so we get to heaven. He talked about it as this complete refocus in life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." It's this complete refocus. It's, I'm all in. You come, take the whole town. It's yours. I believe that the more we allow him to rule, the more we experience his benefits. It's not works, it's natural fruit of being and having him as king. The natural outcome of coming under his leadership and rulership, of being part of his family, is to experience the benefits of his kingdom. So just to wrap up this first point, it's he is a good father, he is a good God. Everything he does is for your best. And I want to encourage you, you can trust him. He's faithful. Any area of your life, you can trust him with it. So point two, the kingdom is transformational. So as we do that first part of surrendering to God, I believe from there it's something that takes place in us and transforms us, but then it happens through us and we bring transformation to the things around us. And I think it's important that it happens in that order, that we surrender first, there's transformation takes place here before there's transformation elsewhere. Otherwise, we can get all messed up and start working for stuff rather than flowing with God. It's like this natural progression, natural fruit from our relationship and what's taking place in us. So that's why this is part two, point two. So it's in us and then through us. So I want to read you some verses. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Here's how Jesus went about bringing transformation. He went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. See that? Gospel of the kingdom. And healing every disease and every affliction. It's another one in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus would show up in towns and things would just start happening. It would have been chaotic because there'd be masses of people following him around because so much things were taking place that they wanted part of. People's lives are being totally transformed. Families are being transformed. Communities are being transformed. Why? Because Jesus shows up, shares about the kingdom, and then demonstrates the kingdom. It's a kingdom of transformation. You guys doing all right? I find Alvin quite an encouraging guy, eh? You know, the other night I was at Open Heavens, that prayer meeting, and honestly, that was just it really encouraged me to see Alvin up the front praying. I was just really blessed by that, bro. And I was just, good on you. Yeah. Is anyone else just really impressed with that man? And his, like, arms? Yeah. It's just a little detour in the message. Okay. Go back to the preaching. Okay, see, in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is sending out the 72 to go out into the villages to preach and share. And he says, "Heal the sick in these towns and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Kingdom of God has come near you." And if we relate this back to those opposing kingdoms, you know, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So Jesus is here and he's healing someone who's sick and he's saying, the kingdom has come near you. Are you catching on with that? So he's saying, there's something going on in your life that's not of my Father's kingdom. The kingdom of God shows up, his customs, his ways, his resources, all those things, and a person's healed. That's a big point. I do not believe that sickness is from God. It is not of his kingdom. So Jesus shows up, he proclaims something, or he's telling his disciples, say, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Jesus isn't just showing up and showing God's power and authority. He's showing something of the character and nature of God in the process. He's saying, this is what my Father looks like. Here's what his kingdom looks like. It's important. So when we see it and we see what it looks like, we start to see what we are part of, what we are called to, what our role in life is. And it's going about those same sorts of things as what Jesus did. It's coming in, seeing situations in the world and saying, okay, what does heaven look like? Okay, let's bring that here. Isn't that exciting? Because in the kingdom of God, we all have so much purpose. You have purpose. You're alive for such a time as this. God has things for you to do. He created you to do good works that he prepared. Was that in Ephesians 1 or 2? It's like he created you to do good works. There's stuff that he has for you to do. You have purpose in the kingdom of God. The church's mission is not to evacuate the earth, but to bring transformation to the earth. Now, I think if we just preach salvation and not the kingdom, then we can think, yeah, one day I'll get out of here. Heaven's your destination as a believer, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to bring transformation, to see things come into alignment with heaven. Okay. I talked earlier about some of those, well, there's the gifts of the apostle, prophet, and those ones. There's also a whole lot of gifts of the Spirit. There's gifts of the Father. And there's all these things that we can be active in. And they're all great ways to bring the kingdom of God on earth. It's like he's equipped us for our purpose. So in all of that, though, we need the boldness to take that step and to step out and be like, okay, this is what God's saying. Here's what I'll do. A few nights ago, I had this dream. I don't dream that much, even though that's 2 in a week, but that's not that normal for me. I had this dream, and this lady came to mind who's sort of an acquaintance. She's not a Christian. And in the dream, she was just really upset. It was real brief. She was really upset. She was crying. And I thought, okay, that was weird. Like, I wonder if anything's going on in her life. You know, I see her yesterday, and we're chatting about a whole lot of stuff, and she seemed great. I thought, okay, that dream must have been real whacked out, you know? Anyway, and as we were leaving and like we were going our separate ways, I thought, I've just got to ask. I've just got to go for it. And this is part of that stepping out. It's just having that intimacy with God and being like, okay, I feel that's what you're saying. Now I've just got to take the step. And I said, look, this might be a bit weird, but I had this dream the other night, about 3 or 4 nights ago, and yeah, you're really upset, but like, you seem really great today, but I just thought I'd ask. And she said, yeah, 3 or 4 nights ago, I was really upset. And yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. She's like, man, you should tell me more often if you have dreams about me. I'm like, yeah, I got that one right. But it's that stepping out and taking that risk, saying, well, God, if you're saying this, if like you're highlighting this person who is sick, or you're highlighting this person, or you've given me this prophetic word, and I don't know. I'm just saying, take the risk. Step out. That's what we're made to do, is to bring transformation, to bring some of the kingdom, to let that touch people's lives and bring transformation. The disciples had the same problem of, oh, I don't want to step out. And theirs was a bit more extreme than ours. In Acts 4, it's talking about, and they've just been beaten up and whipped and having a really rough time. And then they get out of prison, and then they go to a prayer meeting, and they're like, God, give us boldness that we just keep going. I think that's got to be our prayer as well. Just, okay, God, give me boldness to step out. Wherever it is, in my workplace, at school, at whatever it is, give me boldness to step out and bring your kingdom into that place. All right, third thing. I actually don't know what time I started. When do you stop? 4:15. Okay, I'll speed up. So the kingdom, third point, the kingdom is increasing. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder." I just want to describe that verse a bit more. The government, that line, "the government shall be upon his shoulder." In the Passion Translation, it says it, "the responsibility of complete dominion will rest on his shoulders." Okay, so dominion is his responsibility, that sits on him. Okay, so the government shall be upon his shoulder. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. The nature of the kingdom of God is that it is increasing. Jesus told parables about this, and one's in Matthew chapter 13, 31. And he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it is growing, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. So this kingdom increases, it expands, it grows, and it becomes greater than anything else. There's another, it keeps going, verse 33. He tells another parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened or it all risen." The kingdom increases, it expands, and it transforms things into what they're originally designed for. Dough is not made just to be dough, it's made to become bread. When the kingdom of God comes into contact with our lives and into situations, it transforms into what is originally designed for. This happened when Jesus came along and the disciples brought so much change, they did so much stuff, and the world has a lot of ingredients and it needs to come into contact with the kingdom of heaven for it to become as it should be, as it was designed for. Same with us. We need to come into the contact with the kingdom of God so that we become everything we were designed to be. Amen. It's true individually and it's true externally. I'm wrapping up. This whole message of the kingdom, I think, is just so important that we get our head around it, because it takes us from being I'm going to heaven, to, okay, I'm bringing heaven to earth. It takes us from a place of, I'll live my life my own way, to, God, have your way in my life. It takes us from being, I don't have purpose, to, you have so much purpose. And it brings so much hope, because the kingdom is always increasing. We can have hope for the future. The kingdom is increasing. So my 3 things that I really want you to get out of this today is, 1, we surrender to God and allow him to be king of every part of our kingdom, of your kingdom. 2, that we have the boldness to step out and bring change, that we bring the kingdom with us into the situations we go into. And finally, that we have hope for the future, because the kingdom is always increasing.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.